Blog Talk Radio.
Then immediately after Passover,
would be the first day of unleavened bread. In Leviticus 23, verse 1 through 6, to let you know, these are the feasts of YHWH on the 14th day of the first month, Abib. It is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day, it's the beginning of unleavened bread. For 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread, meaning do not put it in your house. That means in your body. I don't mean you load up all the leaven you got and take it to your neighbors and tell your neighbor, hey, neighbor, hold my leaven because it's the unleavened bread and we can't have no leaven in our house. No, see, Rael, it's talking about your body. Close your mouth on unleavened for 7 days. Don't take your food and put it in the garage. Don't take your food to your neighbors. Then when you come back, boy, you say, well, where am I living? Oh, I'm sorry, I was at work, and my old kids ate all your living up, see? Then you gonna pull a pistol out on them. So to avoid all that, understand one thing. You're talking about close your mouth for 7 days on anything that got living in it. That's what it means. But remember, Wednesday night, that's when we see all the white garments and them fringes on. And remember, the same thing for the first day of unleavened bread. Same thing, the first day and the last day, you're back with your royal blue garments on. But the first day is the same thing as the Passover. Get the Passover out the way, boom. The next day, you call unleavened bread, white garments with them fringes on again for that too. You got it? Good. So when you go to Leviticus 23, you'll be able to break it down coming out of Exodus chapter 12, 1 and 2, 13, verse 4, and it tell you in verse 10, you do it year by year the same way. You do not watch the moon. You do it according to what is written by Moses, given by the Almighty Yahweh the Son. Got it? Good. All right, on the international side, all the slots are spilled on the international side. That's 195 international countries else in the room. And like the Latter-day Saints saying, what they say? What they saying? Fear, ever since we come in the room, this ministry have doubled. Well, you know, one thing about it, the fox tail have been lit and the curtain have went up, and they'll tell you all about it when it comes. And we got a memo saying, Elder Mr. Tibbs will be a few minutes late. Oh, okay. Speaking engagement. All right, so I ought to be a few minutes late. So you tell you all about the broadcast, and we'll leave it just like that, and we just go on and get something going on, and we'll bring the young lion up and come and teach out of camp number one. We'll bring him in. We'll get something going on whatever to be get going on until our elder come. And he'll tell you all about the broadcast of BOTTY, Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, part number 92. So we're going to bring the young lion out of camp one. And one thing about it, when you meet your brother, what a loud voice you say that came on stage. What a loud voice you say. Brother Matthew, Travel Yahweh Judah, Yahweh beat you to see Roy.
Yahweh bless you, Israel. Fear Israel, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Fear Israel, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Excellent. And we got another young lion coming to the broadcast, and he's going to be on stage for the night, episode 92. We're going to see can we find another one of them young lions that's coming to the broadcast. And let's see if we find Brother Titus going to be on stage for the nice episode 92. Let's see how his greetings will be. Let's find out exactly how he greet the old seer. Brother Titus, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Brother Titus. Yahweh bless you there, Seer Royal.
Yahweh bless you there, Brother Seer Israel. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, I take both of them, but we just get something going on. But one thing about it, Terry Hale been lit and the curtain Hale went up, and we got the WCC, World Council of Churches, they had already dropped a couple of memos about your greetings, the greetings, and got a couple more studies. We don't worry about that later. The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they in the room, and Timothy Dolan, the big cardinal out of New York, and they ministry is on the line. So one thing about it, the Foxtail Hell been lit and Curtain Hell went up, but we know one thing, all the big dignitaries in the room for one reason, to catch the Sixth Anointing canceling something. And one thing we won't, and we got, I'm not going to say a special guest in the room, but we got Pastor Stanford that's in the room, and she's going to be taking big time notes. She said, I'm behind now. I've been out there in Africa, and I've been doing my thing around Africa and everything else. But I'm gonna check you out. I'm going to put the pad on you and see what I've been missing. Pastor Stanford. All right. Good enough. So, good enough. Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 12, verse 2. Let's get something going on to the elder. Get here. Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
You know, and I believe that, young lion. The righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say in that very same hour. See, whenever you drop Luke 12:12 on in your lesson in your beginning, what you saying, you telling the Almighty, come in and examine my lesson. That's what you're telling them. See, when you invite him in, he'll come in now, and he'll put the eyeball on you. So when you say Luke chapter 12, verse 12, you inviting the Almighty to come in and examine your works. And that's the key, see, right? So now, you sure you won't say Luke chapter 12, verse 12? Remember, you inviting him in, and what did he say that he don't do in 1:13? What did he say he don't do, Brother Titus, in Habakkuk 1:13? Let's see what he say he don't do. See, when you say Luke chapter 12, verse 12, okay, good. You invite him in. But are you sure you want to invite him in? What can we read? What can we read, Brother Titus, in 1:13 of the book of Habakkuk? What can we read out of that?
The book of Habakkuk, let's see it, chapter 1, verse 13 reads, "You are of pure eyes, yet to behold evil, and cast not look on sin. Wherefore lookest you upon death that dwells treacherously, and holdest your tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he."
Mm-hmm. So he's telling you now, he said, listen, I'm telling you now, if you invite me in, I don't look upon sin. So I don't look upon sin. And what is the biblical definition of sin there, Brother Titus? 1 John chapter 3, 3, 4, 8, and verse 10. So what the Almighty is saying, you can jump out there and say, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. But he said, make sure you clear, you understand something. I do not look upon sin. What is the biblical definition of sin that we can read? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, 4, 8, and 10. Brother Titus, you're on the clock. Come on.
Right, beloved John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, 8 and verse 10 read. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. "And every man that has his hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure." Verse 4. "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the Torah instruction of the first five books. For sin is the transgression of the first five books Torah instruction." Verse 8 reads, "He or she that commits sin is of Satan, But Satan the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the son of Yahuwah was manifest that he might destroy the works of Satan the devil. Let's read. And this, the children of Yahuwah are manifest, and the children of Satan, the devil, whosoever doeth not righteous, is out of Yahuwah, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Read verse 10 again.
First John chapter 3, verse 10 reads, and this is the children of Yahuwah are manifest, and the children of Satan, the devil, whosoever doeth not righteous, is not of Yahuwah, neither he is she that loveth not his brother.
Mm-hmm. So he says, now we can distinguish children of Satan and the children of Yahuwah by reading verse 10 one more again. Read verse 10 one more time. Because see, one thing about it, the six anointed camps of voices over two is like, we know one thing, the fox tail have been lit and the curtain have went up. And we know one thing, we got to make our settings on every nation upon the sun two by two. We're clear about that. So we got to know how to present ourselves through the pages of the book. So we got to be able to examine whatever in front of us according to what the Bible measurements is. So now read that verse 10 one more time and put a little bass in your voice there, Brother Titus, because, you know, the world is listening. So make it plain how to identify things for the six anointed camps of voices of the Jewish life. How do we identify what we need to know in verse 10? Come on.
First John chapter 3, verse 10 reads, and this, the children of Yahuwah manifest, and the children of Satan, the devil, whosoever doeth not righteous, is not Yahuwah, neither he or she that love not his brother.
So there is right there. So when you're not doing righteousness, you're not of the Most High, you are Satan the devil. Now, what is the biblical definition of being righteous? We got to make sure we precept that to be clear, because we got to recognize whoever come in contact with us from the page of the book. Let's go to 625 and see what it says there, Brother Titus. What do you mean by, if you're righteous, you with him? If you're not righteous, you're not with him. What is he saying that we can read out of the heavenly tablets called the first five books in Deuteronomy 6:25? What does it say that we can read?
The fifth book of the heavenly tablets, the fifth book of the Torah instruction, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25 reads, and it should be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions, first five books, before Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, as he had commanded us, the children of Israel.
So it is a commandment to do the first five books to be righteous. So it ain't no guesswork. So from the time of Deuteronomy to the times of Psalms, you got about 4,500 good years. So David going to pull that from 2 Samuel 23, 1, 2, and 3, which we're not going to read, but David going to pull that in 119, 142, and 144. Now, he going to pull what we just got through reading with the precepts of 625. Now, watch him pull that verse. And Pastor Stafford, we know your pen should be working real good, because one thing we do know about you, you are a great note taker and a book writer and an author and a finisher. Your notes out. No doubt about it. 119, 142, 144, bring it.
Book of Psalms 119, 142, 144 reads, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah instruction, the first five books, is the truth. Verse 144 reads, your righteousness is your testimony, is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
So let's run to Ezekiel chapter 20 there, young liner. Brother Titus, let's run to Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's see what can we get out of this, the order of things. Let's see what the order says we can read. Let's think of verse number 1 down to verse 5. Let's see what this order. You know, the reason why we in the condition we're in today, because one thing about it, order got to be laid out. Order. Let's find out what he told Ezekiel in the 20th chapter 1 through 5. You're on the clock. Brother Titus, come on.
The book of Ezekiel is here, chapter 20, verse 1 through 5, read. And it shall come to pass in the 7th year of the 5th month, the 10th day of the month, that some of the elders of Israel come to inquire of Yahuwah and sat before me. Verse 2, read. Here came the word of Yahuwah to me, saying, verse 3, read. Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and said to them, thus said Yahuwah, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, said Yahuwah, I will not be inquired of by you. Verse 4, read. Would you judge them, son of man? Would you judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their father. Verse 5, read. And said to them, thus said Yahuwah, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my head unto the seed of the family, nation of Israel, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt through the word of Israel, land of bondage, when I lift up my head unto them, saying, I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So he says, he's a son of man. I want you to do something. I want you to do something. So tell me again, what is the son of man, which is Ezekiel the seer, what did the messenger spirit tell him to do that he got to do that we can read in verse number 4? Let's see what he says that we can read, that the requirement of Ezekiel the seer, the messenger spirit told him to do something in verse 4. What did he tell him to do that we can read there, Brother Titus?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4, read. Would you judge them, son of man? Would you judge them? Call them to know the abomination of their father.
What? I wonder why did he say that? Would you judge them? Why did he want them, Brother Micaiah? What is the reason why he want Ezekiel the seer to judge the whole nation of Israel? Why so that he says that in the 14th chapter, verse 5 and 6? Why so? Why did he tell him, you know, son of man, hey, Ezekiel the seer, would you judge the nation of Israel? Why did he tell him that? Let's see what we can read in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. What can we read there? Brother Micaiah, young lion, come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 reads, that I may take the nation of Israel in their own mind, because they are all estranged from me through their eyes. Verse 6, therefore say unto the nation of Israel, thus says Yahuwah, repent. Turn yourselves from your idols. Turn away your faces from all your abominations.
He said, the children of Israel, they have started being idol worshipers. And you know what an idol worship is? It can be whatever you love the most besides Yahuwah's word. See, one thing about it, an idol can be the one you lay your head down with on the pillow. It can be your kids. It can be your house. It can be your car. He said, an idol is picked up because of when you make Yahuwah's word as a secondary, then that becomes your idol. So you got to examine yourself to see, have you put anything before YHWH and become an idol? Because you can be estranged from Yahuwah. And that's why he scattered the nation of Israel in every nation upon the sun. And it's now it's time to send somebody to show you where you at and what time you in, and it's time to come out of your idleness. You have to know who you are, and you got to know your responsibility. There ain't no accident. So now, Brother Titus, let's run back in that 20th chapter and find out what can we read, verse 10 through 12 and 19, 19 to 21. Let's see what we can read. Now, listen to what he said. Matter of fact, when you get to 19, take it right on down to verse number 27. Because we got to take a look at some things. What it says in verse 10 through 12. Let's see what it says that we can read 10 through 12.
The book of Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 20, verse 10 through 12, 19 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 10 reads, wherefore I caused them to go forth. Wherefore I caused them, the children of Israel, to go forth out of the land of Egypt through the word Mizraim, and brought them unto the wilderness. Verse 11. And I gave them, the children of Israel, my statutes, and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he should live in them.
Hold that part. Hold that part right there. Now you see what he said? He said, I gave the children of Israel my statutes and my judgment to do them. Now, Brother Micaiah, let's precept that to Amos chapter 2, verse number. Let's pick it up around by verse number 10 and 11. Let's see what it says in Amos chapter 2. Make it 3. Verse 10 and 11. What can we read out of 10 and 11 in Amos 2, 10 and 11? Brother Micaiah, young lion roaring on tape number 92, what does it say that we can read?
And we're going to the book of Amos, chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10 reads, also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, polluted word for Mizraim, and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites. Verse 11, and I raised up of your sons for seer, and of your young man for Nazareth. Is it not even thus, O you nation of Israel, says Yahuwah?
Mm-hmm. And not only that, he said, didn't I raise up the nation of Israel to be seers? Didn't I raise y'all up? Didn't I do this for you, children of Israel? He said, he asked him a question. Didn't I do this for you? So why in your establishments of teaching, this is never brought up, that when I set the presidents on how it's going to be, I chose the people called the nation of Israel, and I took the seers out of the nation of Israel. He said, didn't I do that? That's what he said to them. Then he also said something to them, Brother Micaiah, in the third chapter, verse 1, 2, and verse 7. And he's still talking with them, the children of Israel, through the mouth of Amos the seer. Amos is doing some talking to the nation of Israel. And he says something else that we can read in the third chapter, verse 1, 2, and verse 7. What did he say that we can read there? Come on.
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse 7. Verse 1 reads, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, polluted word Mizraim, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, when I punish you for all your sins.
Read that again. Read that again. Take your time, read that verse again. Take your time on that verse, because I'll quote one thing about it. Our pastor Stanford is a great note taker, and she looking real carefully at every word you're saying. So bring that verse back too, because you left out one word, and I want to make sure it's clear. What did it say again?
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins.
Yeah. So you see that? You only one that I know. See, that what you left out. You only one that I know out of all the families of the earth. So now you was over there in South Africa and you got a chance to run and you found the Limba tribes, Pastor Stanford. You found them all. But one thing about it, you didn't leave the mark that folk be known. The one that he got an order about things. So we're going to have plenty of notes when we turn back to South Africa around the limbos again. We're going to have plenty of information to stand them up like a stiff board on some truth. He said, you only have I known out of all the families of the earth. Now watch what he says in verse 2 again. One more time.
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, you only have I know of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins.
You clearly, the reason you were getting punished, all 12 tribes of Israel, because of our sin. Sin is what's punishing us today. Sin. And sin is a transgressing, breaking the first five books. We are sinning when we're breaking the first five books and don't have it in order. So that's why he gonna tell you something in verse number 7. But remember we read in 20 verse 4, he's a son of man. He said, Ezekiel seer, would you judge the nation of Israel? So once you start judging the nation of Israel, the seer got to have those that understand what have to be done to take the message. So as soon as the seer get his hands on it, Brother Micaiah, what he got to do in Ezekiel 3:15-16? Let's see what he got to do. Now, soon as the message come to the seer, what do immediately the seer got to do that we can read? Coming out of, Brother Titus, give me 11 verse 3 real quick. Hold your point. Give me Psalms 11 verse 3. Let me get warmed up on 11 verse 3.
All right, we're going to the book of Psalms. Well, the book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous Torah keepers do?
See, if you don't have your foundation, what can the righteous do? You can't. What can the righteous do? Because see, the reason why we're saying this, see, we heard you praying, Pastor Stanford. You said you went visit the Limba tribe. Do you know that in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, exactly the birth certificate of the whole 12 tribes of Israel? You remember your question was, hey, where is the Israelites over here? Over here. They say, it's some over here. I said, who is they? You say, who is they? Oh, they are the Limba tribe. Okay. But we go on and look at the birth certificate of it, and you tell me where you get that name from. Let's go to Brother Micaiah. Let's run to Exodus chapter 1, and let's get the birth certificate of the roll call of the children of Israel. And when you come up with the name Limba, then stop right there. When you get the word called Limba tribe, then you pause right there when you get it. 1-7, Exodus 1:1 down to verse 7, bring it.
Okay, the book of Exodus, chapter 1, picking it up at verse 1 down to 7. Verse 1 reads, now these are the names of the family of Israel, which came into Egypt, polluted word for Mezarim. Every man in his household came with Jacob, who name changed to Israel. Verse 2, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, polluted word for Yadah. Verse 3, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Verse 4, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Verse 5, and all the body that came out of the loins of Israel was 70 persons, people. For Joseph was in Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim already. Verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. Verse 7. And the family of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them.
Wait a minute. Well, what is the word of, you read the word of children of Israel, well, what's the number at? What happened to the number? You mean, you know, they was all puffed up, and Pastor Stanford got out there and looked at eyeball, and some stuck the chest out and said, I'm looking for the Limbo tribe. They said, that's me. I'm a Limbo tribe. But wait a minute. You Israel of the Limbo tribe, and I don't see your name on the birth certificate. So if your name is not on the birth certificate, that name Limbo tribe is on the book of Ezra. So Pastor Stanford, when you say I'm looking for the Israelites, and they said, well, we the Limbo tribe, and they puffed their chest up, then you supposed to hit them with 262 and tell them exactly what's going on while you was over there for the last 2 months in South Africa. Get what you supposed to have been dropped on them, EZRA 262. What did it say that we can read?
The book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 62. 62 reads. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted the priesthood.
So the word limbo is a polluted word. It's polluted. When they put air in their chest and say, I'm from the limbo tribe, you say, okay, fine. That is a polluted word. And that's polluted word because First Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1 tells us exactly why I'm over here, to look y'all eyeball to eyeball. Since I found you, I know one thing. I got to give me some James 5:20s. Huh? I got to give me all I can get my hand on. But since I'm looking at you, Limber Tribe, let me tell you something that we can read out of the Bible in First Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 1. What does it say that we can read there, young lion, Brother Micaiah? Come on.
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel, the northern tribe, and Yada, polluted word Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression.
Mm-hmm. So all Israel, all 12 tribes, how is they supposed to be recognized according to 9:1?
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy.
Stop right there. So when you bump into the Israelites, they must be recognized according to 9:1 through genealogy. They must be able to trace their name that they have to one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so your mission 2 months ago was to put them on the right track, to let them know that if you continue to call yourself a Limbo tribe, that is a polluted word for one of these 12 tribes of Israel. Then they're going to say, well, wait a minute, well, who are we? And that's why we're here. That's why I'm over here, to show you who you really are. It's time for you to learn the truth of yourself. So that's why what we teach got to be in every nation upon the sun. Now, give me my arm, Brother Micaiah. This is the reason why. In Thomas verse 3, you know, they got Doubting Thomas over there in the 20th chapter. But, you know, the Almighty Son, Thomas, eyeball to eyeball, and he told him something. He looked him eyeball to eyeball, Pastor Stanford. He looked him eyeball to eyeball in verse 3, and he told him something. Let's see what he said that we can read.
The book of Thomas, verse 3, read. Yahweh the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, see, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the son and daughter of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty.
You say, well, you don't know yourself, it be you in poverty. So we can unite all we want to do, but until we understand one thing, it's time for those around the known world to know who they really are. The only way you will come out of this poverty you in, you must know who you are, that you are the living sons and daughters of YHWH. But you got to let the verse do the talking first. All right. Let's see, can we swing down a little bit, because the mothers came in to the room and came on stage, so we go and see and find the mothers. And also Camp O out of Detroit, Michigan, came on stage. Let's see, can we start, let's peek out a little bit at what else going on. But Pastor Stanford got a long way to go. And like we do know, you are an excellent book writer and a note taker. But you got to rewind that 2 months vacation over there in Africa and be in a hurry to get back with something that they will stand up like a flower with some water. All right, we're going to see and find Mother D.F. Israel. She came on stage. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, with a loud voice you say, Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be to them, see you.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Let's run down here around Camp 4 and let's see, can we find Princess Leora Israel out of Camp 4 out of Detroit, Michigan. Princess Leora Israel coming out of Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan. Yahweh be to them, see you. Yahweh, Latter-day Saints quote, Seer, we going to mute Camp 4 for right now. Are you going to mute Camp 4? Hallelujah, Yahweh, on that. Well, it's your radio station. Do what you got to do, Latter-day Saints. All right, a mother, D.F. Israel. Wait a minute. Let me go back. Did we read, Brother Micaiah, did we read once the seer got the message? Did we read the third chapter, verse 15 and 16 yet? Because what he supposed to do immediately after he get the message from the Almighty to judge Israel, what do we supposed to do in a hurry that we can read in 3, verse 15 16 of the book called Exodus? What immediately he supposed to do that we can read? Come on.
Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 reads, and Yahweh said, moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the nation of Israel, Yahweh of your father, Yahweh of Abraham, Yahweh of Isaac, Yahweh of Israel hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Verse 16,
hold on,
go.
Hold that point again. Hold that point again. So you're saying, he just said, his name is what, and for how long? And listen real carefully, Pastor Stafford. What he said again to Moses in verse number 15, what he said again?
Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, And Yahweh said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the nation of Israel, Yahweh of your father, Yahweh of Abraham, Yahweh of Isaac, Yahweh of Israel, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
So I don't care where you go and how long you go and where you be, how many names he got forever, according to verse 15, Brother Micaiah?
One name, Yahweh.
One name, Yahweh. How many letters is that?
Four letters, Y-H-W-A.
Now, Pastor Stamper, we clear that you was over there in South Africa the last 2 to 3 months, and you heard every name but the one name. Now, you see what we got to do with our notes? Now, find out what it says over there in 42, verse 8. Let's see what Isaiah got to say about that. And Isaiah made a statement behind that. Isaiah pulled that verse. In 700 B.C., Isaiah pulled that verse we just got to saying that, Brother Micaiah. Let's see what Isaiah said behind that. Because one thing about it is the ministry now have to emerge and sit the president as it is. In the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we want to see what was Isaiah pulled part of that, and he added on to it in 42. Let's see what Isaiah said that we can read in verse number 42. He said, what he says in verse 8? Isaiah 42, verse 8. What do he say?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, I am Yahweh. This is my name, and my honor will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
He says he who? Who he say he is?
Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, I am Yahweh. This is my name, and my honor will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Hold on, young lion. Come back to verse 8 again. Just give me a little bit. Who do you say he is again?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 8. I am Yahweh.
Hey, how many letters is that?
Four letters. Y-H-W-H.
Mm-hmm. So, if that what he says, I'm Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, what he say that we can read in verse number, that we can read, verse number 24? I tell you, give me 21 and 24. Give me same book. Give me verse 21 and 24. This is real good what he got written here. 21 and 24.
Okay. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 21 and verse 24. 21 reads, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify his Torah instruction and make it honorable. Verse 24, who gave Israel for his spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his Torah instruction.
You see that? He's reading you in captivity, Israel, because you're not obedient to the Torah instruction. He says, that's why you're in captivity today. Now, Mother dear of Israel, let's see what he says behind all that that we can read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, and 15. Let's see what he says that we can read out of Mother D.F. Israel in Deuteronomy 28, 1, 2, and verse 15. We're going to get warmed up before we get to verse 25. Let's see what he says in Deuteronomy 28, 1, 2, and verse 15. Mother D.F. Israel, you on the clock. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, and verse 15. verse Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to serve and to do all his Torah instruction, which I command you this day, that Yahweh, your Yahweh, will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall listen, hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 15.
Hold that point. Hey, mother, hold that point. So now he's talking about a blessing on the people, mother, yes, Israel. Back up, let's find out who is this blessing on in Genesis 49:28. Who is he? He's talking about a blessing on the people, but we ain't got no name on it. And plains, he said, you know, I got to sit out with you and tell you all the good stuff that went on for the last 3 months out there in South Africa. But, you know, those still want to hear some good stuff that's going on, that you put some water on them and show them exactly who they are and their responsibility on what we can read. But this is what we want to hear when we sit down eyeball to eyeball with the Pastor Stanford. When we sit down with you, I want to hear some of this right here that we're getting ready to read. And I'm going to make sure you check all the boxes, because I'm going to be taking notes on you. Now, what you getting ready to read there, mother?
Genesis chapter 49, verse 28.
What did it say?
Genesis 49, verse 28 reads, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them, and bless them, everyone, according to his blessing. He blessed them.
So them blessings on them we read in 28 verse 2 is for the whole 12 tribes of Israel. If you listen,
yes.
He said, if you listen, you got a blessing. 12 tribes of Israel. If you listen to me, he's telling the whole 12 tribes. If you listen to me, you will find a blessing. That what he say? Now, say in 28 verse 15, mother dear of Israel, look what he says. Now he gonna add a little bit more in verse 15 that we can read. 28 verse 15, what he said?
Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken, listen unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to observe, to do all his Torah instructions and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you.
Read one more verse and see where is he going to start at. Let's see where he's going to start at in verse 16. Where is the curse going to start at that we can read? In verse 16.
Verse 16. Cursed shall you be in the field.
Is that where you're going to start at? He's going to start, he's going to curse you where you're at in the city, and he's going to curse you on the ground that you walk on and plant your vegetation. Is that where you're going to, his first curse he's going to put on you? See now. We clear that Pastor Stanford told him all about that when she got over there in South Africa with the Limba tribe. She told him that. I know she told him that. So I ain't worried about it. She bring report and sit it right down in the seal's lap. She said, yeah, I showed him that you're going to be cursed in the city, wherever you're in that little dump site, and you'll be cursed in your field because you call yourself by a polluted name called Limba tribe. It got nothing to do with the register of the 12 tribes of Israel. So I know she laid it in on them real good. Verse 25, read it.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 25. Yahweh shall cause you to be smitten before thine enemy. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
And I know Pastor Stafford told him, you know, the reason you over here right now, because you've been removed from your native land. You've been removed to every kingdom of the earth. So I'm clear that was told to the Limba tribe for the last 3 months. I'm clear. So when you come and sit down with those seers, you can bet you're going to make it plain to me that you told them that. Down to verse 45 and give me some more.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you listen not unto the voice of Yahweh your Yahweh to keep his Torah instructions and his statutes, which he commanded you.
Mm-hmm. Take it down to 46 through 50. Listen real good. Go ahead.
Verse 46. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not Yahweh your Yahweh with joyfulness and with gladness of mind, for the abundance of all things. 48. Therefore shall you serve your enemy, which Yahweh shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. Verse 49. Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from far and from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle fly, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
Mm-hmm. And skip down to verse 64 and what it say, the 68. Listen real good. 64, 68. What it say?
64 and 68 or what?
Yeah, spread on down.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Your ticket, spread on down. Because the reason why you take it straight on down, because we know Pastor Stafford is a great book writer and a great note taker. She taking notes.
Uh-huh.
Big time. Look mm-hmm. what you ready to hear in 64 through 68. What it say?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64 to 68. 64. And Yahweh shall scatter you among all the peoples from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there you shall serve others, false Yahwehs, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. 65. And among those nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but Yahweh shall give you there a trembling mind and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. 66. And your life shall hang in doubt for you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. 67. In the morning you shall say, would Yahweh it were evening. And at evening you shall say, would Yahweh it were morning. For the fear of thy mind wherewith you shall fear, and for the night the sight of thine eyes, which you shall see. 68. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemy, or bondsmen and bondswoman, and no man shall buy you.
Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to send you into Egypt again. Now, what is the biblical definition for Egypt? What do that mean that we can read, Mother of Israel? What do you mean by I'm going to send you to Egypt again? When you see the word Egypt, what do Egypt mean to you?
I don't know why I'm crumbling.
And what do Egypt mean to you, to us that we can read? Let's try to pick a verse number. One. Let me see. Is that what I want? I want to find out what do Egypt, when we see this word Egypt, what do it mean to us in the 13th chapter? Let's pick it up around about verse number one. Let's see what Egypt, when the children of Israel see the word Egypt in the Bible, what do it mean to us, the peoples of the book? Let's go to the 13th chapter and pick up verse one there, Mother of Israel. When we see the word Egypt, when we see it, what are we supposed to say that we can read when the word Egypt come up to us on the page of the book? 13 chapter 1, 2, and 3 says what?
And Deuteronomy.
Now make it Exodus. Let's get Exodus first. Mm-hmm. We want to find out what that word means to us. When the children of the book look at the word Egypt, what do it mean to us that we can read in the 13 chapter verse 1, 2, and 3?
Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, so ever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man, and of beast, it is mine. Verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength.
Stop it there, Mama. When we see the word Egypt, what did the Bible say in verse 3 it means to us, the children of Israel? I mean, just pick out exactly what it means that we can read. Flat out that we can read. So we see in the Israelites over there in Egypt, Egypt means to the children of Israel, what specific words in verse 3 that it means to us talking to another Israelite? You where?
The house of bondage.
The house, the land, the nation, the family of bondage. That's all Egypt means to us, see, right here. And see, I'm going to bring you back into bondage again. And wherever you find the nation of Israel, that's what you're in right now, bondage. You in Egypt. I don't care if you're in America, you're in South Africa, West Africa, North Africa. Wherever you in now, you in bondage. Because somebody else look like somebody else. Is the one that you have to pay the piper to. So when we looked them eyeball to eyeball for the last 3 months over there in South Africa, I know they got the message. You're in the house of bondage, the land of bondage. Get a precept on that in the 20th chapter. Exodus 20, and get a precept on that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, 2, and 3. Listen good what we can read on a precept of the house of bondage. So when the children of Israel see the word Egypt in his Bible, what will be told to them that is bondage to you. 20, 1, 2, and 3. Must be up Israel, bring it.
Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, verse 2, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3. You shall have no other Yahuwahs before me.
See that? So that means you're supposed to only call him by one name, and you're supposed to be, and he'll tell you one thing again in verse number 8. This is what he tells you. Now read 7 and 8. He's going to tell you something. So I'm clear that when the seer go eyeball with Pastor Stamper, she's going to lay all that bookwork that she laid on the limber tribes and all them big congregations over there for the last 3 months. She got plenty to tell old seer, and he's going to be all ears. He's going to be all ears on this right here in verse 7 and 8. What it saying 7 through 9? Come on.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 through 9. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Yahweh, in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless or her that take his name in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it righteous. Verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work.
Yeah. So I know that was passed in grand style. Now, young lion, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
Go back to the 20th chapter. You go back to the 20th chapter because, I don't got happy now because we're hearing good reports all over the world. And Pastor Stafford said, Sid, I can't wait to go eyeball and give you my 3 months report that I got out of South Africa. I want to hear all of it, too. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, there, we left off in chapter 20. Ezekiel 20. Did we read 10 through 12? Did you give me 10 through 12 already?
No, I ain't got verse 12 yet. I'm on verse 12.
Okay, give me verse 12 again and skip down to whatever we say. I know you got it in writing, go ahead.
Ezekiel 10, chapter 20, verse 12 reads, Moreover, also I gave them, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, my status to be a sign between me and them, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them. Verse 19. Verse 19. The 27 reads, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and do this. Verse 20 reads, and sanctify my Sabbath. And they should be a sign between me and you, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 21 reads, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walk not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do this. If a man do, he should even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them, the children of Israel, to accomplish my aim against them in the wilderness. Verse 22 reads, Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and brought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen through the word of the 17 nations.
Wait a minute. Hold it, point. He said he done what again? Back up and say, what did he just say again now, Brother Young Lion? He made a profound statement that deserved a little precepting in there. Back up, he said, nevertheless, he done what again?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 22. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and brought for my name's sake.
Stop right there. He said, but nevertheless, I draw my hand back for my name's sake. Because I don't want them to pollute my name. Nevertheless, he said, I was getting ready to drop some on them, but he said, but for my name's sake. Now, Brother Mackay, what is he talking about, his name's sake? Let's go to Numbers chapter 6. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6 and pick up verse 22 down to verse 27. Let's see, can we precept that? He said, the only reason I didn't do them a job, notwithstanding, only reason I didn't destroy them because of my name's sake. So now we get ready to read a name. I know his name got limbo into somewhere. So we go and see, why did he draw his hand back from these people? Let's see what they limbo Israelites. Let's see exactly what's going on in Numbers 6, 22 down to verse 27. What's going on that we can read there, young lion, Brother Micaiah? Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 down to 27. 22 read. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the family of Israel, saying unto them, verse 24, Yahweh bless you, Yahweh keep you, verse 25, Yahweh make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. And verse 26, Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the nation of Israel, and I will bless them.
And put my name on it, on the nation of Israel, and I'll bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Back up. What name was put on that we can read? And back up one verse. What name was put on them that when you use his name, you're upon a blessing? What name that we can read that was put on these people? He said, Moses, you go get Aaron and his son, and you tell the whole 12 tribes of Israel, if they use this name, they are upon a blessing. What name is you talking about that is a blessed name that we can read? And back up one verse and see what name you're talking about.
The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 26. 26 read, Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Go ahead. Okay, now. He give you peace. Now read the next verse again. Now what name going to get you all this peace?
Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Oh, so now my name on the children of Israel, and if they apply his name, they upon a blessing. So you see what job that we got to do. We clear that this was told for the last 3 months in South Africa, that you the Lumba tribe, if you carry the name of what we can read out of the register, you upon a blessing. And as long as you use these names that we can't read, what's the opposite of blessing? Huh? What's the opposite of blessing? So now, see, we got something to work with now. Now, we got something to work with. What is the opposite of blessing that we can read? So we're going to have to do a little investigating and find out. Because we know that the mission is had to tell them, you can come out from under this poverty. If we show you what the Bible's saying, then somebody that's sitting to you, your elders, read this verse and let's all see what we can get out of it. That's the key right there. We're supposed to always bring our sword and let the verse be read. Then you ask them one thing. What do you get out of this verse right here? We're talking about a blessing. Now, so if this name is on them, they got a blessing. So wherever it is, his name, Israel, is on them. You got a blessing. But let's find out what he said we was going to do in 65 verse 15 out of the mouth of Isaiah. Let's see what he said we was going to do. It was prophesied that we was going to do this because Yahweh said something real plain, Brother Titus, in 46 verse number 10 of Isaiah. Something he said in 46 verse 10. He told Isaiah something in 46 verse 10. What did he say that we can read? Brother Titus.
All right, we're going to the book of Isaiah, the 5th, chapter 46. Verse 10 reads, declare the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, say, my counsel sustain, and I will do all my pleasure.
Oh, so he called the end from the beginning. He said, now what he got on the table is going to stand. So this man that was speaking to Isaiah, that was sent from the Father, the Son, and the Minister Spirit, he said, Isaiah, tell, and when you put this in writing, remember he's declaring not as a novel, not as a diary. He is telling you the end of this thing from your point of view, the beginning. So this is what he's saying. So he says, my name carries a blessing. And we read in Thomas 3 saying, you out of poverty once you understand who you really are. But who are you that we can read? Brother Micaiah, let's find out who we are that we can read. While we are in Ezekiel already, go to 36 and look at verse 8 and verse 20. Let's see who we are that we can read. Before you get to Ezekiel, stop off in the book of Chronicles 28, verse 1, 5, and 8. Let's see what it says in Chronicles 28, verse 1, 5, and 8. Let's see what he says that we can read. Chronicles 28, verse 1, 5, and 8. What can we read, Jeff? Brother Micaiah, you're online. Come on.
Okay, going to the book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1, 5, and verse 8. Verse 1 reads, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, and the captains of the campaign that ministered to the king by court, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his son, with the officers and with the mighty man and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Polluted word for Yada, Judah. Verse 5. And of all my sons, for Yahweh has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel. Verse 8. Now,
hold
therefore.
That hold that point. What did you say in verse 5?
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, And of all my sons, for Yahweh hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel.
Well, so Mother D of Israel, so when in 1 verse 6, asked, so when this question was asked, all we got to do is fill in the blanks by having verse 5 sitting in our lap. All we got to have is Chronicles 28, verse 5 in our lap. And when this was said in 1 verse 6, we supposed to remember what it said all the way back in the 28th chapter, verse 5. So when Peter looked at the son eyeball to eyeball and said this to him, with that great big stick of verse 5 waiting on us, let's see how you handle this. 1 verse 6 of Acts.
Acts chapter 1, verse 6. 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
Why he said that? Why did he say that? Why did he say that? You know why? Again, because we clear that it was said in 28 verse 5. So he knew to look back at the days of old and find out when it was established right there in 28 verse 5. So Peter asked, by being a chief speaker of the nation of Israel, he said, Yahweh, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel again? Must meaning that they must had it once upon a time ago.
Right.
Did you know once upon a time ago, children of Israel, you had a kingdom? You thought you always was, you know, who they tell you are today. No, no. Peter knew what he was saying. He said, I restore the kingdom Israel again. What do you mean by that? Watch Brother Brother Micaiah read what he's talking about. And not only that, you had a name in verse 8. But now look what he said by painting that picture in 28 verse 5.
Okay. The book of First Chronicles. Say one, chapter 28 verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and of all my sons, for Yahweh hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel.
Ain't that something? So Peter knew what he was talking about because he already had the Chronicle book in his hand, and he can read when the kingdom was established right there in 28 verse 5. And not only that, look at the name they had on them when they was established kingdom. They had a name in verse 8. Look at the name they had in verse number 8. What name they had?
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahweh, in the audience of our Yahweh, keep and seek for all the Torah instructions of Yahweh, your Yahweh, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever.
Why we don't have that record? Why we don't have that record nowhere on the TikTok shows and all these old shows they have? Why that record is not put on the table? Why it's not? You know, you want to get the people out of poverty? Look at his hands. This is how you get them out of poverty. Show them that when Peter said, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel again? That means you once had it, see, right? Why you have a know that you once had a kingdom and you had a name that was called? And Yahweh responded to the name that was called. You was called a whole congregation of the children of YHWH. That was your name. And not only that, when we precept that to the Ezekiel 36, verse 8 and 20, it talks about that. So why this is not talked about today? Why do we don't hear this? So, but we know Pastor Stanford was over there in 3 months over there in South Africa. They know about it now. Huh? We clear she brought this message. We clear that she brought the message. What message did she tell them when she went eyeball to eyeball with the Israelites over there in South Africa? What did she tell them that we can read in 36 verse? What was said? Come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 8 and verse 20. Verse 8 reads, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. Verse 9, for behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you.
Hold on. I don't want to just 8 and verse 20. 8 and 20. Read verse 8 again and just jump down to verse 20. That young man.
All right. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 20. Verse 8 reads, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. Verse 20. And when they entered unto the heathen, the nation, rather they went, they profaned my righteous name. When they said to them, these are the people of Yahuwah, and are gone forth out of his land.
What did the other nation call you again? What did they call you?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. Chapter 36, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, and when they entered unto the 17 nations, the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my righteous name. When they said to them, these are the people of Yahuwah, and are going forth out of his land.
Yeah. So you mean that the other nation had they knew your name? They can identify you, and they call you what name they call? Look right at that verse. And tell me, once upon a time ago, they could look right at the children of Israel, and they said with no bones about it, who are they, according to that verse?
These are the people of Yahuwah.
Hate that something. You mean once upon a time ago, people knew that who? Why they don't know that enough? Why they don't know that the peoples that you got, that you call African American Negro in color and super coon and jungle bunnies. Yeah, jungle bunnies.
Mm.
Do you know what you call them? They call you in South Africa? They call you jungle bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you got all these names for you? You mean, once upon a time ago, guess what? You was called, what again that we can read? Brother Micaiah. What were we called when they, although they call us, not only that, they call us African jungle bunnies. Boogie, mm-hmm. Yeah. Boogie. Mm-hmm. Here it is. African jungle boogies. Boogie and bunnies. African jungle boogies. You know that what they call them? They call them in South Africa. That what they call you? That's the name they call you over there in Africa. African jungle boogies. Like boogie woogie, boogie woogie. Boogie. What do they call you? Why you got all these names, Cyril? Huh? But once upon a time ago, when they looked at you, they call you what again, Bob McCain?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, these are the people of Yahuwah.
These are the peoples of Yahuwah. So once upon a time ago, that's what you was called when they sent you. Why they don't call you that now? Why they don't call you that now, see, right? What is you... What have you got yourself in that they don't address you like that no more? That's why you call yourself Lumber Tribe. You call yourself Nigerian. You call yourself all these names now. But you don't call yourself, and they got a name for you when you call yourself Nigerians and African jungle boogies. And you say, and they got a name for you that they call you. That's who you really are. But you call yourself Nigerians and Limber. Look at them. This is them African jungle boogies. Huh? What do they call you, C-Ray? C-Ray, when you going to recognize the signs of the time? Because there's a ministry going to is coming to lay the books out before you and tell you who you are according to what's written. If you're going to be able to step into the plate and be part of this ministry to be able to lay the book out, let the book talk, then you ask them a question after the verse read. What do you think about this verse right here? Keep me in on the verses now. Don't have them all over the place. Because they get all over the place, they get in, they get into their, they get off into their, we'll talk about it later, what they get off into. We'll talk about it later, maybe in this broadcast. Because you don't want them to get off into what we get ready to talk about later. Keep them in the book. Mother D.F. Israel. Let's go to Sirach chapter 19 for a minute. Because I want to precept something. Let's run to Sirach chapter 19 and pick up verse 5 and 6. 19 down to verse 23. Don't you listen? Listen to this. Listen to this for a minute. We're going to Sirach chapter 19, verse 5, 6, 19 down to verse 23. Help me out there, Mother D.F. Israel. What can we read in Sirach? Chapter 19, verse 5, 6, 19 to 23. What can we read? Come on.
So, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, 19 to what?
To 23.
19 to 23. All right. So, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, verse 5. Whoso taketh pleasure in wickedness shall be condemned, but he that resists pleasures crowneth his life. Verse 6. He that can rule his tongue shall live without strife, and he that hateth babbling shall have less evil. Verse 19. The knowledge of the Torah instruction of Yahuwah is the teaching of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. Verse 20. The fear of Yahuwah is all wisdom. And in all wisdom is the performance of the Torah instruction. And the knowledge of his omnipotence. 21. If a servant say to his master, I will do as it please you, though afterwards he do it, he agrees him that nourish him. Verse 22, the knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom, neither at any time the counsel of sinners prudent. 23, there is a wickedness and the same an abomination, and there is a fool's wanting in wisdom.
Reverse 22 again.
22, the knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom, neither at any time the counsel of sinners prudent.
So you see, that will happen. That's why they end up always got egg on their face all the time. They always got to get the counsel of the wickedness, of wicked. Somebody with salt from the field somewhere, and they always... They and that's why they never leave by being a 5:22 of Galatians. They'll never leave being a 5:22. So you got to watch them. Listen, six and on the camps. Keep them one thing in mind. Those that come into the ministry of the six and on the camps, you watch them when they come in. And when they leave, you watch them when they leave. You want to make sure you clear when you see them when they leave. Do they leave a 5:22 if they come in a 5:22 of Galatians. Keep this in your mind. Always, Pete, take notes. You want to know if they come a 5:22 of Galatians, if they leave a 5:22 of Galatians. then you know what to start putting in your book. Say, you know exactly what's going on. Look what it says here in 5:22. Now, you got to watch this. Every time he tell you, it's going to come up. So all you 600 count, be watching for 5:22s to come in and leave. Go ahead.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the covenant.
Yeah. So that's how he's supposed to lead, with that kind of spirit. Now, we read over in Sirach chapter 19, around about 5, he says, the wickedness shall be condemned, but he that resists pleasure, crown is the crown of life. See, if you resist all that pleasure that's contrary to the book, is the crown of life. Now, we got a precept that Mo did up Israel. We got a precept that, see, what are you saying? Let's run to the book of Hebrew. What we try to call Hebrew. Let's see what it says in the 11th chapter, verse 23 down to verse 25. Let's see who is he talking to. Because sometimes we might be geared to go on a vacation trip for pleasure. And he just told you, when you are the children of Israel going on a trip, it's, you got to resist pleasure because you got a job to do, especially if somebody look you eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, where's the Israelites over here? He said, well, I'm an Israelite. Yeah, I'm a limber Israelite. Now, what is a limber Israelite? See, right then and there, that trip that you on now, that pleasure, it turned into the business of send them down the limber tribe and let them know, long you use this name, limber tribe, you'll never be up on the blessing of Yahuwah, because in the register, no children of the blessing was called limber. None of them. See? So you're not up under the blessing. Now, Paul pulled that verse, and Paul addressed the southern kingdom. The whole nation of Israel, he addressed that question. And look what Paul said to bring back, to remind them in the book of Hebrew, Plutarch called Hebrew 23 on verse 25. What did he say there, Mother D up Israel? You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Hebrew, polluted for Eber, chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. Verses 23. By belief, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by belief Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahuwah, then he enjoyed the pleasure of sins for a season.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You hear that? He says, now Moses had all the women. He had everything. He had everything a man can have.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, when it come down to my people's Israel, to have pleasure, I say it again. Let me hear it again. Now Paul's talking. Paul is talking to that great big temple of the southern kingdom, and he addressed you by your biblical name. He called you by a name. So a lot of times when you think you on a vacation or something, now you go up a pleasure. But Paul is telling you, Moses had more money than you had, more people surrounding me you will ever have. But Moses, I mean, Paul is telling you exactly what Paul did on this pleasure thing, that he said he could remain the second man in charge of Egypt. He could remain the second man in charge. But he made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, see, Roy, remember we earlier, what is your idol? Is you going to make a choice like Moses did? What did Moses do in verse 25 again there, Michael, D.F. Israel? What did Moses do?
Hebrew, polluted for evil, chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season.
Now, you know I got to preach up that most, D.F. Israel. Give me 24 of Proverbs, verse 7 through 9. Let's see what happened when you, I got to precept that. I mean, we did. We precept that out of 19 chapters. Let me tell you something, Sister Lana Campbell. I hope you're just not amused at the teaching. You're taking notes. You're not, be in positions. Don't be a parakeet, because this going to come up. And we're giving you all the tools that you can work with, because when you go on these trips, when we go two by two, like last night, lesson, the Ebenezer upon the sun, understand, don't go with the who's and all's. You're going to deliver your peoples. So don't let the green grass fool you. Remember, they had a record about that. Don't let the green grass fool you. Huh?
Yeah.
Know how to salute when you come into establishment. Ain't no told you. Now, when you salute them, if you don't get the response back that what you're supposed to have, you know that then there's a trap. Now, you know that from last night's lesson. So no need us going back over that last night. If you miss a lesson, you miss a lot. So you clear what to do, because you're going to be on the clock. Is you going to take heed? Huh? You going to take heed on what the scripture say? Or you going to be on a trip for just pleasure and not taking care of what you've been assigned to do? Matter of fact, let me show you what you were assigned to do. Hold that point. Brother Titus,
yes,
you were assigned to do something. Do you know it's written in the Bible, assigned to do something, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah? Do you know that wherever you was at, that you were upon the, you were appointed to do something that you can read? In verse 21, what was you assigned to do that we can read in verse 21?
Okay, Isaiah 43:21.
What was you assigned to do that we can read in verse 21?
Isaiah, the fear, chapter 43, verse 21 reads, "These people have brought forth for myself; they should show forth my praise."
Ain't that something? That means wherever you go, every chance you get, what is your duties you're supposed to do that we can read, Brother Titus? What is our duties by knowing who we are? What is our duties according to that verse 21?
Isaiah 43, verse 24, verse 21. "These people have I formed for myself; they should show forth my praise."
So what do these people supposed to be doing every chance they get, Brother Titus, according to verse 21?
Show forth my praise.
Show forth Yahweh's praise. That's why you was created. You was created to show forth Yahweh's praise. Now back up to verse 4 and make it plain. Let's find out why. Verse 4.
Isaiah 43, verse 4. since you was precious in my sight. You have been honorable. I have loved you. Therefore, will I give man for you and my people for your life.
He's a man's man. The man said, you, who, now, who doing all this great big talking that we can read? Who doing all this great big tall talking in verse 14 and 15? Who is that? But Titus, who can we read doing all this great big tall talking?
Verse 14 and 15.
And 15.
Verse 14 and verse 15 in Isaiah 43. Thus said Yahweh, your Redeemer, the righteous one of Israel, for your sake, I sent to Babylon and brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ship. Verse 16, I am Yahweh, the righteous one, the creator of Israel, your king.
You mean that Bible tells all that? Yeah, you see it? All of this. So listen, when you out there and wherever you at, you see what your responsibilities is to do, huh? Yeah, I know. And he tell you who he is. I'm the one that created Israel. And he tell you who I am. Your king. He said, I'm your king. So you know you don't disappoint your boss on your job because you know he'll cut your paycheck short. Take it away from you. And look what the king said. He said, I'm the four-letter man, YHWH, the righteous man, the creator of Israel. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who gave you the name in 622 and verse 27. That was my name in 49 of Isaiah, we're not going to read. I put that name on you, and that name is showing my praises. So, see, Ray, do you honor your king? Why not? Going back to that Isaiah, Brother Titus. Going back to that Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's get a little bit more. We're going back, and finally, you know, the elder, he's off his speaking engagement, so now he's ready to present himself on tape number 82, and we'll be bringing him in shortly, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast and everything else. So now, we go on to Ezekiel, back to the 20th chapter. And we want to get back to what we left off on there. Now, we've done all that because of the verse you dropped a long time ago in that 20th chapter. You dropped a final verse, but we're going to act like we don't see it anymore. But you're going to read verse 22 one more time, but we're going to act like we don't even really hear it. But you can get on down to verse number 27. So we just go and read 22 down verse 27. We're going to do everything we can to hold our peace. We're going to try our best to hold our peace. 22 down verse 27. Young Lion, Brother Titus, you on the clock. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 20, verse 22 and 27 read. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake. That it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, polluted word for the other 17 nations. Then from whose sight I brought them forth. Verse 23, I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness. Then I will scatter them, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, tribes of Israel, among the heathen, polluted word for the other 17 nations. And disperse them through the country. Verse 24 reads, because they, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes, had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Verse 25, wherefore I gave them, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. Verse 26, and I polluted them, and their own gift, and that they caused to pass through the fire, all that opened the bull, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am Yahweh. Verse 27, therefore, son of man, speak unto the nation, family of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me.
Hear that man say it. He said, y'all done some terrible things against me. He said, y'all have done some terrible things against me. But what he say he did in verse 22? He said, you children of Israel, y'all done some terrible things against me. You see that? Look what he say in verse 22 again.
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 22. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and brought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen through the word of the 17 nations.
So you see the man saying, he said, nevertheless, I just withdraw my hand. Boy, let me tell you something. That's big talk right there. But, you know, I ain't through with that verse, but I need to. Because he, in Jeremiah 33, and then we're going to bring our elder in, and let you know we bring this broadcast. And like Pastor Stanford said, you heard all over the country fixing on the council. Don't worry. That's why you have to conduct yourself and get yourself prepared for what's to come. That's how we're going to give you all the tools to work with. It's up to you to take heed and for Yahweh to put the blessing on you. Not parakeeting anything we're saying. Be able to do it even better. But Yahweh got a great call on the Sixth Anointing Council. We got a big job to do. Give me Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10 for a minute, Daryl. Brother Titus, Jeremiah 13, 10.
Oh, Jeremiah 13. Oh, okay.
Did I say something prior to that? What did I say prior to that?
It was Jeremiah 33.
Okay, good. Yeah, excellent. Let's go and get Jeremiah 33 since you said that. Because he got some on the table. See, a lot of people say, you know, well, he don't cast away, and that's why he's dealing with everybody else. No, that ain't the reason he's dealing with everybody else. That ain't the reason he's dealing with everybody else. No, that's not the reason. See how they tell you. No, you've been cast away. But no, he said something in the 33rd chapter when they bumped their gums and say, well, no, y'all been cast away. And you said, well, what do Deuteronomy 33 verse number 2 say? And we'll skip down to 23 down to verse 26. See, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. You got to be able to let them buff the gums, and you can't parakeet, and you can't get emotional and get excited and make yourself be what in the lesson last night would we most likely going to read after the break of the elders. You can't get caught up being emotional to be able to let the conversation go forward, then get busy according to the Bible. What do you say that we can read in verse 33, verse 2 and 3? Make it 2 and 3, then 2 and 3 down to verse 26, then we'll bring our elder in. He'll tell you all about this broadcast, and we'll get back on what we own. What do you say we can read them? Brother Titus, in 33 of Jeremiah 33, 2 and 3, 2 and 3 down to verse 26. What can we read? Come on.
Okay, Jeremiah 33.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 10, chapter 33, verse 2 to 3. Get down 23 to 26. 33, verse 2. Thus saith Yahweh, the maker thereof, Yahweh that formed it, to establish it. Yahweh is his name. Verse 3 reads, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. Verse 23 to 26. Read. Moreover, word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah to see and say, verse 24, consider it. Consider it not what this people has spoken. Say, two families which Yahweh has chosen, he had even cast them off. Thus, they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Verse 25, thus says Yahweh, and my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the orders of heaven and earth. Verse 26, then why cast away the seed of Israel, David my servant, so that I would not take any of his seed to be ruler over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Run to Psalm 103, verse 10, just a minute. I just want to show something to this national audience. That's why I say, you know, two by two, Yahweh said, I'm going to be with you in 18:19 of Matthew, but two by two, every nation upon the sun. Let me show you what he says to David. He's David, David. He's a David. 103, verse 10. He's a David. That was a minister's prayer. Said, David. Hey, David. 103, verse 10, what did he say?
The book of Psalms. Chapter 103, verse 10 reads, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor water us according to our iniquity.
He said, he haven't dealt with us according to our sin. He said, he ain't dealt with us yet. You ain't got what you really got coming unless you straighten up and you're right. He said, he ain't really yet, but he gonna. Huh? Give me Jeremiah 13:8-10. Jeremiah 13:8-10. He said, he haven't really dealt with us after I was saying. He ain't really, but don't mean he ain't. He's sending the last messenger before you, the six anointed camps of voices over to his life. That's why we telling you, see right here. When you get in an opportunity of any setting, tell the peoples exactly, don't go in there with a Jeremiah 2:33 trimming your way to seek love. Any opportunity you get to deliver the word of Yahweh, don't drag your feet, because it could be your last, and he's going to bring it back to the table. So you got to have zeal wherever you go. Be able to show my peoples what he's saying. Huh? Whenever you in a speaking engagement, whatever you got to do, make sure you leave to let them know why the end of condition is and how to come out of it. Never forget that. 13:8-10 says what that we can read in Jeremiah. What do you read, Jeff? Brother Titus, what can we read?
Jeremiah 6, chapter 13, verse 8-10 reads, when the word of Yahweh came unto me, say, verse 9 reads, thus says Yahweh, after this night, I will murder the pride of Yada Judah, the southern king, and the great pride of Jerusalem, through the word for the northern king. Verse 10, this evil people, which refused to hear my words, which walked in the imagination of their mind, and walked after other false Yahweh to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this dirt, which is good for nothing.
My. Great, strong people is good for nothing. See, if you're not showing forth the praises inward and outwardly of Yahweh, He said, you just like this girder, this moth. You ain't good for nothing. That's right there. He called you a evil people. Bring our elder in. He'll tell you we'll bring this broadcast. And he'll tell you all about it. Then we'll be saying, see, right, an opportunity you get. Let them know that the reason you're in conditioning here right now, let them know you are evil because you refuse to walk and talk in the words of Yahweh. That was your praise to. So we're going to bring our elder in. He's going to tell you all about this broadcast, and we'll come on back in for the closing of take number 92. Elder Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock, and the world is listening. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And late that I am, as you write, I was conversing the word, which brings me to this particular conversation. This has been a very good learning experience, I believe, for most that was listening to our program this evening. It brings me to tell you that some of us are strong in mind and strong in body. That way we go forward in Yahweh's word. Some of us are weak in body, but we still have a strong mind, and we can still keep the word of Yahweh. Look what Solomon did. Solomon had to lead a whole nation. He asked Yahweh for wisdom in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He asked Yahweh for wisdom, and he gave him that and much more. In the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verses 35 to 36. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. 36, and if thou see a man of understanding, get thee behind unto him, and let thy foot wear out the steps of his door. I said this the other day, but when you find someone that you can learn from, like the voices of the true Israelites, you definitely get behind them and really learn the word of Yahweh to build up that mind strong. Maybe your body is weak, but strong in Yahweh takes care of the other weakness. Even in John 14:26, if you took notes, what did that say? He created unto your remembrance things that he said unto you. You know, created things unto your remembrance. Weak in body? Look what John and Paul did in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 6. In Solomon's temple, grabbed this crippled man and tell him to stand up, walk ye in the name of Yahweh of Nazareth. And that brought the attention to everyone. Strong mind, strong body, or weak mind, weak body, and weak mind, you're simply doomed. Yahweh will give you that which you ask for. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity. Welcome you to the door which we have opened unto you to learn the words of Yahweh. Connecting the books, your health, which we often speak of, foods that you should eat, and keeping those Sabbath days. We do this because this is information you all came to seek. You have to look no further now. You found it in the voices of the true Israelites to build up your mind strong in the word of Yahweh. We're open from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. And that top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribegoddot.com. And after you click enter, just under the big line, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly may see menu. But again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And in doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, and bring an offering, come unto his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember what it tells all of us in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to verse number 4. 1 says, take heed that you not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. 2, therefore when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue, the churches, and the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. 3, but when thou doest alms, do not let the left hand know what the right hand doeth. 4, that alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's something to strongly remember, I would say. So to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, that's what this is all done for, to help building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We also have a calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We also have a live program. To get there, just enter 3 words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have a couple of email addresses to use. The first is Tribe Yadav. That's TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers you can also call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. And also by calling the same number, you can order what our members have known as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we have the correct name and a correct address, which is most important, and you will receive your shipment promptly. Another note, please do not contact the seer via phone or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you can see, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigarette Man, and answering many memos, even addition to that now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, not to worry. You can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, just enter 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, choose Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Just pick the program you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day you'd like to listen. Another good note, during and after the normal Broad Talk broadcast, we are simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, right in the Shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. and you'll find that Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But one good note, when given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we're on an international broadcast with hundreds of thousands of people that came to hear the words of Yahuwah. Remember, we're not the authors of confusion, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, but we are the ministry of understanding. So we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel, and I got to catch up too. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent on your part. That's right. We all got to catch up. And one thing about it, but once we catch up and we all get on one accord, one mind, one face, Yahuwah gonna make this move with this ministry in grand style. Let's run back to the young lion, Bob Micaiah, and we're gonna look at a couple of statements and find out what's going on here, because we gotta be clear about some things. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, Bob Micaiah, can you help me out? What it says in 24th chapter, verse 7 down to verse 9. 7 down to verse 9. See, listen, sitting on the camp, watch things from the pages of the book. Watch things. Watch what? Things from the pages of the book. Let's see what we can read in the 24th chapter, verse 7 down to verse 9 of Proverbs. 24, 7 down to verse 9. What it say there? Brother Micaiah, young lion, come on.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Down to verse 9. Verse 7 reads, wisdom is too high for a fool. He opened not his mouth in the gate. Verse 8, he that devised to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. Verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men.
Wait a minute. You mean if I'm sitting around and my thoughts ain't right, it's what? What are you saying to me? Now, remember, the elder just said in the book of Chronicles, second book of Chronicles, chapter 1, 7, 9, verse 12, that Solomon asked for this wisdom in the book of Chronicles. Now, so Solomon and Yahuwah said wisdom is granted to you, Solomon. Now, once Solomon was granted all his wisdom from the Almighty, from graduating from his school, what did he say if you are sinning is what again? In verse number 9, look what he says sin is in verse 9.
Okay. The book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, the thoughts of foolishness is sin.
The thoughts of foolishness is sin. So sometimes you might be looking at somebody close by you, right there, and they thought something, got in a, and you say, right now, you know, your thoughts are sin. Because right now, your thoughts are sin. The thoughts, your thoughts are sin. See, you see what the man is saying? That's your thoughts. If we don't direct you the proper way and let you run on your own, your thoughts gonna be of sin. Because you were thinking this one way and the total another direction in the sin. It ain't right now. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 7, 24 to 30 says what? Wisdom of Solomon chapter 24, down to verse 30. Brother Micaiah, what it say?
Okay. Book of Wisdom of Solomon. Into the Book of Wisdom of Solomon.
Verse 24 down to verse 30. What do 24 down to verse 30 say?
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 24 down to 30. 24 reads, for wisdom is more moving than any motion. She passed and go through all things by reason of her purity. Verse 25.
Hold that point. Now we went at that on a on the prior Saturday. See, if you're not trained the right way, you'll get off into your emotions instead of wisdom. You'll get off into your own thing. That's why you got to make sure you train right to learn something. And when you watch a person that stand before you, get off into their feelings. See, you know good then and now what's going on. See, wisdom is better than your feelings. That's emotion. You got it. Well, you ought to hear what I feel and all that. But no. See, that's what you'll have to watch at 690 camps. When they get off into their feelings, that's emotional. But he said wisdom is better than that. Read that again. I'm quiet. Come on.
Okay, the book, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 24 reads, "For wisdom is more moving than any motion. She passed and go through all things by reason of her purity." Verse 25, "For she is the breath of the power of Yahuwah, and a pure influence flowing from the honor of the Almighty. Therefore can no defiled thing fall into her." Verse 26, "For she is the brightness of the everlasting light, the unspotted mirror of the power of Yahuwah, and the image of his goodness." Verse 27, "And being but one, she can do all things, and remaining in herself, she makes all things new, and in all things entering into righteous people, souls. She makes them friends of Yahuwah and seers." Verse 28, "For Yahuwah loved none but him that dwell with wisdom." Verse 29, "For she is more beautiful than the sun, and above all the order of stars, being compared with the light, she is found before it." Verse 30, "For after this come night, but vice shall not prevail against wisdom."
Read verse 30 one more time.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 30 reads, "For after this come night, but vice should not prevail against wisdom."
When you got the wisdom part of Yahuwah, don't ain't nothing that is higher than Yahuwah's wisdom. And like I said, you take the last lesson tied together, you understand what I'm saying? Reading verse 29.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 29 reads, "For she is more beautiful than the sun, and above all the order of stars. Being compared with the light, she is found before it."
28.
"For Yahuwah loved none but him that dwell with wisdom."
All Yahuwah love when you apply the wisdom, not the emotion thing. Now read verse 24.
"For wisdom is more moving than any emotion. She passes and goes through all things by reason of her purity."
See, so that's what we teach. But when you hear a brother stand before you or sister stand before you, and they get off into their feelings and emotions, then you know that's not the proper leadership that is set before us to move forward in. That emotion part has to be controlled through wisdom for Yahuwah to be present. He's not present in your feelings and in your emotions. So sometimes you see people say shoulders go up, down. They all in a fringes all over the place. Then you understand one thing. That's emotions. That's you and your feelings. Let's get Jude 19 on that and let's see what it says that we can read. Jude 1:19.
Okay, Jude?
Yeah. What next, the book of Revelation?
Yeah. All right, going to the book of Jude, book of Jude, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "These be they who separate themselves, sensational, having not the spirit."
They are, these are they that separate themselves. And they have not the, they
having not the spirit,
sensual, and they sensual. No, you know what that word means? Sensual, that means emotion. They often their own feelings. See, they separate themselves and they think they own something by separating themselves. That's what we say in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, 12:3, and nothing they do. In 12:3, they'll separate themselves from the congregation. They use a name and think they own something. You're not on nothing because you're really in your feelings. That's why when certain things are said, your feelings kick in, not knowing that you're on an international broadcast and this message for the whole entire world, but we'll get into our feelings. Emotional feelings. And not on that, we'll do a 12:3, what it says we can read.
The book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12:3 reads, "And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong man shall bow themselves, and the grander cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be dark."
And what they do, they separate themselves, and they got a lot of highs and lows on them. And they don't understand Yahuwah's word gonna stand forever. And what is Yahuwah's words? He says, "Mother dear of Israel," we're going to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 6. What do Yahuwah's words say that we can read? Mother dear Israel, Exodus chapter 12, 1, 2.
Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and verse 6, verse 1. "And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Verse 6, "And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening."
Mm-hmm. And what is he saying will be the first month of the year to you in the 13th chapter, verse 4 and verse 10? What is he talking about?
Exodus chapter 13, verses 4 and 5.
4 and 10. 4 and 10. 4
oh,
and
10. 4. Exodus chapter 13, verses 4 and verse 10. Verse 4. "This day came you out in the month Abib." Verse 10. "You shall therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year."
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the book of Numbers 21, verse 1, and skip down to 16 and 17. Numbers 28, make it 28, verse 1, 16 and 17. Mother D of Israel. Numbers 28, verse 1, 16 and 17.
Numbers 28, verse 1. 16 and 17, verse 1. "And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying," verse 16, "and in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahuwah," verse 17, "and in the 15th day of this month is the feast." 7 days shall you share unleavened bread, be eaten.
Yeah. It's pretty plain. Is that pretty plain, that Mother D of Israel, what he says? In the book of Numbers?
That's fine.
That's pretty plain. Let's go to the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 1.
Okay.
Let's stop at Leviticus first. Let's stop at Leviticus first. Stop at Leviticus 23 and figure out verse 1.
Okay. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying. What did he say in verse 2?
Verse 2, Leviticus 23, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be righteous gathering. Even these are my feasts.
Okay, let's find some more about this righteous gathering. Keep straight on down from 3 down to verse 6. Straight on down and see what do Yahweh is telling Moses, tell the children of Israel in verse 3.
Verse 3, Leviticus 23:3-6. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done. 7th day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous gathering. You shall do no service.
Go ahead. Righteous gathering. Go ahead.
You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. Verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous gathering, which you shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at eve is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month of unleavened bread, unto Yahweh, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm. Now come back to the 28th chapter of Numbers 1 and 2 and 16 and 17. One more again. Numbers 28, verse 1 and 2. Then skip down to 16 and 17. Make it plain there, Mother D. F. Israel.
Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. 16 and 17?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Numbers chapter 28, verses 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offerings and my bread for my sacrifice made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season.
Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to make sure you do it in the due season. Go ahead. 16 and 17. What due season are you going to be done? Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh. Verse 17. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten.
So 7 days after we get through the Passover, we eat unleavened bread for 7 days to be eaten. The first day, of the Passover, on the first day of the Passover, you have 38 through 40. Let's see what he's talking about. On the first day of Passover, you had your second day of 238 through 40. What's going on 238 through 40? On the first day of the Passover. Yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 38 through 40. As in chapter 2, verse 38 reads, arise up and stand. Behold, the number of those that be filled in the feast of Yahweh. Verse 39. Verse 39 reads,
39 and 40.
Verse 39 through 40. Which I departed from the shadow of the world, and I received righteous garments of Yahuwah. Verse 40. Take your number, O Yadah Judah, son of the king. Shut up those of yours that be clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah instruction of the first five books of Yahuwah.
First day of Passover, you got to have on what in verse 40?
Take your number, O Yadah Judah, and set up those of yours that are clothed in white.
Huh. And what will be on them white in the 15th chapter, verse number 15, verse 37, 38. What will be on them white? What will be on the white we supposed to see?
The book of Numbers. Chapter 15, verse 37, 38. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, read, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them, order them, that they may make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a red band of blue.
Mm-hmm. Why so? Why so? In the ninth chapter of Matthew, why so that we can read in the ninth chapter? Why so all that conversation going on that we can read in the ninth chapter? Why so? In verse 21. Yeah. 9:21-22. What's so that we can read?
Matthew, chapter 9, verse 21 and 22, read. And she said within herself, I may for such his garment, and I should be whole. Verse 22. For Yahweh's son's turn him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of a good comfort. Your belief of the covenant has made you whole.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was made whole from that hour.
Yeah. She was what?
She was made whole from that hour.
By doing what in verse 21?
21, she said within herself, if I make for such his garment, I should be whole.
Hmm. That's what she said in herself, huh? So it's more to it than we think by wearing them garments with them fringes on. Yahweh has set a blessing in them garments on. So why would you leave home without it? Especially knowing, even really understand one thing. Every first day of every feast is white garments. Remember, unleavened bread is Passover is a feast by himself. That's one day of that. That's out the way. Now, keep this in your mind. Unleavened first day of unleavened bread. That's another first day feast. So that's another first day feast. That means white garments. So you clear that unleavened bread is one feast. Passover is another. The Passover and unleavened bread for 7 days. On that first day, the white garments. The 7th day, back to your royal blue garments. You got it? Good. Leadership, make sure you're clear about it. Office and on the council. Passover, white garments. Boom. Now, that's out the way. Now you're going off into unleavened bread. That thing. of your feast. And that is the first day is the white garments. Then the rest of the days is royal blue garments all the way to the clothes. Got it. All right. Let's get one more in the closing statement now. Y'all online. Let's get one more in. And what is it that we can read in Galatians 5:17? No, make it 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a closing statement there. Young Lion, we'll catch you on the feast day Wednesday night. But what do you say we can read in 2 Corinthians 5:17? What can we read?
The book of 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, therefore, if a man or woman being thy father's son, he or she is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, look, all things are become new.
What do you mean our old things have passed away? Give me James 2:3. What do you mean by old things have passed away? What old things now have passed away? And 2:3 of James.
Go to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 2:3. James 2:3. And you have respect to him that really the gate closed.
No, okay. So that been passed away, the gate closing. So what I'm going to pass away from you is some gay clothing. That suit and tie, I'm passed away from you, and the vest on. And, you know, all that I'm passed away. Because you recognize for Yahuwah to recognize you, same way the young lady recognized Yahuwah the son, she recognized him, he had some fringes on, that royal blue garment and fringes on. And she knew in her mind, if I could just touch them fringes, I can make, be made whole. And that, guess what? In that very hour, she was made whole. And we leave it like that. Brother Titus, you were still tall again in grand style. So your closing statement is all yours in the world listening. Come on.
All right. Go on to the book of Sirach. Let's see. All right, the book of Sirach, chapter 7:1. Do no evil, so shall no harm come unto you. Verse 2, depart from the unjust, and sin shall turn away from you. Verse 4, read. Be not to be judged, be not able to take away sin, lest at any time you fear the purses of the mighty, and lay a stumbling block in the way of your unrighteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. That's Brother Titus, one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp Warren. Excellent. Mother D.F. Israel, and your closing statement in Deuteronomy, after you read Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, 22 on verse 26. Mother D.F. Israel, that's even says in the book of Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, then skip down to 22 down to verse 26 in a closing statement. Mother D.F. Israel, Mother E, Mother Z, Mother D.F. Israel, the mother's out of Camp 1. Mother D.F. Israel, Deuteronomy 15, verse 2. Let's get down 22 to 26 in the closing statement. What it say?
22 to 26?
Yes, ma'am.
Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. 22 to 26?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2 reads, "For you are righteous people unto Yahweh, your Yahweh, and Yahweh has chosen you to be a special polluted for a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Verse 22. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed, field, bring forth year by year." 23. "And you shall eat before Yahweh your Yahweh, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithes of your corn, of your wine, and of thine oil, and of the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you mayest learn to fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, always." Verse 24. "And if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far for you, which Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh, your Yahweh, has blessed you." 25. "Then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go unto the place which Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose." Verse 26. "And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusteth after, for ox, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever your soul desire, and you shall eat there before Yahweh your Yahweh, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, your family."
Hear it? So that Passover coming up with them white garments on, it's going to be some teach them up, and some eat them up, and some drink them up. That going to say you're supposed to rejoice when that Passover. Then he'll be ready. He said, "Make sure you got everything I tell you to have, and rejoice at the Passover, which is Wednesday night."
Mm-hmm.
All locations know the rules and regulations according to the Bible. Wednesday night, white garments, Wednesday night. And have on your mind a 5:22. We're going to teach them up. Then we're going to eat them up. And we're going to drink them up. And all I can say behind it to my dear of Israel, hallelujah, what behind it?
Hallelujah, what?
Hallelujah, what? So what you
got? Psalm 73, verse 17. "Until I went into the temple of Yahweh, then understood I therein." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you see, we on point. We on point, we on the Bible point. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, what is saying in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 down to verse 4 and 17? What can we read, Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, Israel, C. Roy? What can we read out of Deuteronomy 6, 1 down to verse 4 and 17? What can we read?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 and verse 17. Verse 1 reads, "Now these are the Torah instructions, the statute, and the judgment, which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commands to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it." Verse 2, "That you might fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep all his Torah instructions, which I command you, and your son, and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh of your father have promised you, in the land that flow with milk and honey. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Yahweh, our Yahweh is one Yahweh. Verse 17. You shall diligently keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh, your Yahweh, in his covenant, in his Torah instructions, which he has commanded you.
Mm-hmm. So what is the command you that we can read in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy 1, 2, 3, and verse 6? What did he command us in 11 and 14? What did he command us to do that we can read there, Brother Micaiah, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, 1 through 3, 6, 11, and 14? Let's talk about that commandment that he gave us. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, verse 6, verse 11, and verse 14. Verse 1 reads, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to Yahweh your Yahweh. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh your Yahweh brought you forth out of Egypt, polluted word from Ezraim by night. Verse 2. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh, your Yahweh, of the flock and the herd, in a place which Yahweh should choose to place his name there. Verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim and hate, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim, all the days of your life. Verse 6. But at the place which Yahweh, your Yahweh, should choose to place his name in, there you should sacrifice the Passover at eve, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt, polluted word for Mezarim. Verse 11. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh, your Yahweh, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which Yahweh, your Yahweh, hath chosen to place his name. Verse 14, right? 14. And you shall rejoice in your feet, you, and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, the father, the widow, that are within your gate.
Mm-hmm. Jubilee chapter 6, verse 33. What can we read out of Jubilee chapter 6, verse 33 and verse 36? What can we read, young lion, Brother Micaiah?
Book of Jubilee, chapter 6. Verse 33 and verse 36. Verse 33 reads, but if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his Torah instruction, then they will disturb all their seasons, and the years will be dislodged from this order, and they will neglect their ordinances. Verse 36. For there will be those who will and surely make observation of the moon now, serve it the seasons, and come in from year to year, 10 days too soon.
So if you do the moon, you're going to be 10 days too soon.
An incarcerated individual at
Danville Correctional Facility.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring. To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press 2. If you
be aware, any attempt to add a third party to any call from Illinois DOC will result in inmate disciplinary action, and the involved end user's phone number will be globally blocked from future calls from all Illinois DOC facilities.
Thank you for using.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black messiah unless we create him.
Hello?
Yeah. That's our program. It's for the
Mm-hmm. Brother Micaiah, what he says in 1 Ezra 1, verse 6 to 8. What it say we can read?
1 Ezra. Chapter 1, what verse?
Verse 6 down to verse 8.
Okay, the book of 1 Ezra, chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 8. Verse 6 reads, offer the Passover in order and make ready the sacrifices for your brethren and keep the Passover according to the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, which was given unto Moses. Verse 7, and unto the people that was found there, Josiah gave 30,000 lambs and kids and 3,000 calves. These things were given of the king's allowance, according as he promised, to the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Verse 8, and Helkiah and Zechariah and Seleus, the governors of the temple, gave to the priests for the Passover 2,600 sheep and 300 calves.
So you see, on the Passover, they were really throwing down on that Passover. They was getting it together on that Passover. That's what in 2 Kings 23, 1, 2, and 3. They was getting down on that Passover. They was eating them up, drinking them up. They were doing everything on that Passover up on the eyes of Yahuwah. 2 Kings 23, 1, 2, and 3. Now skip down to verse 21. Okay, well, for time's sake, what it say in verse 21?
Okay, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, just one verse 21. 21 reads.
Yeah. What it reads?
And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, as it is written in the book of this covenant.
Keep the Passover as is written. So how is it written? Let's go to Numbers chapter 9, 1 through 5, and 7 down through 14, the closing statement. He said, keep the Passover as is written. Don't observe the moon's nut. So how is it written that he's going to keep it? We go on and investigate it. Numbers 9, 1 through 5, 7 down to 14, and the closing statement there, Brother Micaiah Israel C. Roy.
The book of Numbers, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And 7 down to 14. Verse 1 reads, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, polluted from Mezarim, saying, verse 2, let the nation of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Verse 3, in the 14th day of this month at evening, you shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. Verse 4, and Moses spake unto the nation of Israel that they should keep the Passover. Verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at Abib, at evening, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. Verse 7, and those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of Yahuwah in his appointed season among the nation of Israel. Verse 8, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what Yahuwah will command concerning you. Verse 9, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 10, speak unto the nation of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he or she shall keep the Passover unto Yahuwah. Verse 11, the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 12, they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Verse 13. But the man or woman that is clean and is not in a journey, the Passover, even the same soul person shall be cut off from among his people, because he or she bought not the offering of Yahweh in his or her appointed season. That man or woman shall bear their sin. Verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh according to the ordinances of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he or she do. They shall have one ordinance, both the stranger and for him or her that was born in the land.
Mm-hmm. What it says in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 1, 17, and 18. What it says we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1, 17, and 18.
Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 1, verse 17, and verse 18. Verse 1 reads, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Yahweh. For the month of Abib, Yahweh your Yahweh brought you forth out of Egypt, polluted word for Mezarine by night. Verse 17, every man shall give, or woman shall give as they is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh your Yahweh, which he has given you. Verse 18, judges and officers shall you make you in all your gates while your Yahweh give you. Therefore, your tribe, and they should judge the people with just judgment.
Let's go to 2 Chronicles 31 through 6 in the closing statement, and we'll catch your winds tonight. Brother Makai, what is 2 Chronicles 30? Verse 1 through 6, saying the closing statement, you're on the clock. Come on.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 1 through 6, verse 1 reads, Hezekiah sent to all Israel, ten northern tribes. Hold on, I'm going to read that over. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, Hezekiah sent to all Israel, Yada, polluted word Judah, and wrote letters also to the ten northern tribes. They should keep to the temple of Yahweh at Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada Judah, to keep the Passover unto Yahweh of Israel. Verse 2. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation of Yada, polluted word Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. Verse 3. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Yada, polluted word, Jerusalem. Verse 4. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. Verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel, and Yada, polluted word, Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time, in such sort as it was written. Verse 6. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel, Yada, polluted word, Jerusalem, and according to the Torah, to the commandment of the king. Then you, family of Israel, turn again unto Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria.
Give me St. John 7, verse 14, the closing statement. St. John 7, 14. And what does it say?
Okay, going to the book of St. John. Oh.
Yes,
St. John 7. verse 46, right?
Make it 7, verse 14.
Oh, 14. Okay. All right. Chapter 7. Book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 14. 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahweh the Son went up into the temple and taught.
And what did he say in 5:14 when he talked? St. John 5:14, closing statement. What did he say in 5:14?
The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 14. 14 reads, afterward, Yahweh the Son find him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you.
They were stopped in the temple. He said, hey, okay, you know you made whole. When you keep them Passover feast days and them regular Sabbath days, you made whole. Sin no more. Brother Micaiah, Israel, young man, travel, y'all got to do one of them up-and-coming teachers. Closing statement is all yours until Wednesday night. You on the clock, come on.
Well, thank Yahweh for another blessed day to read his word. Thank Yahweh to be able to meet the seer and have the seer teach me the word. I thank Yahweh for my wife and daughter that he has given me to raise for him. I thank Yahweh for the elders and the mothers and for the teachers and the brothers and sisters, a voice of the true Israelite. I want to read the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Verse 1 reads, the fool has said in his mind or her mind, there is no Yahweh, corrupt are they, and have done abominable sin. There is none that doeth good. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Remember, all six locations will be open for Wednesday night with the white garments on. Come prepared, be a 5:22. And Yahweh be with you all until Wednesday night. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yahweh be with you all.
Gave you sick babies, and I'm the one trying to give them a home.